Berry would spend all summer trying to change his mind, but in the end, he was forced to issue a formal court summons. Drinker wasn't the only doctor not keen to testify. "While I thoroughly sympathise with the girls," wrote Martland, "I cannot take sides in a civil suit." Martland disliked lawyers and had no desire to get caught up in a legal battle. As much as he enjoyed a Sherlock Holmes mystery, he was not a fan of courtroom drama. As Martland's testimony was not certain, Berry would not give up trying to persuade him. Berry started hunting for another specialist who could take new breath tests of the girls to prove they were radioactive. But try as he might, he hit dead end after dead end. He found one specialist in Boston who was willing to assist, but the girls were not well enough to travel. In the other camp, meanwhile, USRC was having no such problems, as Flynn was still acting as its expert, and not just for them, as Berry soon discovered. Berry had now learned of the Waterbury Clock Company cases of radium poisoning. Essentially, their existence proved that his client's disease was occupational. Consequently, Berry wrote to the Workmen's Compensation Commission in Connecticut, the state in which the watch firm was based, looking for evidence that he could cite in court. But the commission's response was totally unexpected. "Had anybody in this vicinity suffered an occupational disease?" its officer wrote. "I should have had it brought to my attention, as occupational diseases have been compensable in this state for several years. No claims have been filed with me. I have heard a number of rumours, such as you have, but know nothing about them." It was a conundrum. Connecticut law had a much more favourable statute of limitations of 5 years, which was just about long enough for a dial painter to discover she had radium poisoning before bringing a lawsuit. By now, at least 3 dial painters had died in Waterbury, and others were ill. Had not one of their families filed suit? They had not, and there was a very good reason why. Dr. Frederick Flynn. Flynn had enjoyed access to the Waterbury girls almost from when they began falling ill. He was given privileged admittance to the workforce, and the girls not only knew him, but trusted him. When he told them they were in perfect health, they believed him. And once radium poisoning was discovered, Flynn became willing to play a two-faced role. To the dial painters, he presented himself as a concerned medical expert, whereas for the company, he persuaded dial painters to accept settlements that explicitly freed the company from further liability. And this was the reason that not one case had been filed with the Compensation Commission. Any claims that might have been raised had been quietly settled by the firm. There was one obvious reason for the difference in the Waterbury Clock Company's approach compared with that of USRC, and the clue is in its name. As Waterbury was a clock company and not an out-and-out radium firm, agreeing to settlements and in so doing tacitly admitting that the paint had harmed the girls didn't affect its wider business, for it didn't make money from selling radium. And so, when its employees started dying, the company simply settled any cases that came up using the gentle mediations of Dr. Flynn. "In these negotiations," wrote one commentator, "Flynn held the upper hand. He knew what he wanted, and the women he dealt with were invariably young, unsophisticated, vulnerable, and without the benefit of legal counsel."